Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskaden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today, I really want to be brief as there is a lot to cover. But first, we want to get into Scripture as a understanding for us to continue to know that we need to go from glory to glory. We know we've talked about, you know, the new wineskins and etc. that's been prophesied. And this is really a foundational, and you probably are all aware of this. I realize that, but I think this is a good scripture for us to sometimes just read and remind ourselves. And then we'll get into the news. And I do want to be very brief on a lot of things, and just so that we're sober and aware as we stand here and pray for the Office of the President. As I see more of you guys are joining in from around the country. And so today we want to start in 2 Corinthians, let me pull this back up, 3:18. And it reads as, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And I also want to read it. That's a New American Standard Version. I'm reading in the Amplified because I think it gives a little deeper perspective for us to read both. And it begins with, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. And that's the thing, going from one place to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The reason I wanted to read that is because we're finding out through the decision last week of overturning Roe v. Wade that a lot of Christians are now, and this is more for the church, are upset or happy or learning for the first time where their pastor and leader or where their church and pastor leader do or don't stand on the issue of life in this country. And there's comments being made by high-level leaders that I think are somewhat correct, but we also have to remember is that for the individual who is now becoming engaged and aware of these issues, as the Lord makes it ever increasingly aware for everyday people and everybody within in the church, is that, you know, there now should not have been the first time that people have become aware of this. I mean, Scripture clearly, going back to the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, clearly talks about where the church should be standing on this issue, number one. But let's be aware that there are some who are just now becoming engaged and aware of this issue themselves. They're figuring for themselves out what they believe, as they've been asleep within the church for some time, but also is, yes, church leaders should have been aware of this and forthright and outcoming of this. And this is a problem throughout the country. Now you're seeing where some people who consider themselves to be Christians ultimately stand or don't stand with where the Lord is on this issue and where Scripture is aligned with this issue. So I think it's just something to, number one, the Scripture to remind ourselves is that, you know, we're all going from one degree of glory to another degree of glory and being transfigured more into the image of the Lord. And to not just be so harsh and hard towards those who are just now waking up to this reality that this is something that's on the Father's heart. Is maybe they were in a place where it wasn't taught. Maybe they just didn't get it because of life issues. They were, you know, for whatever, blinded by it. And so let's be gracious to those people, but then also pray that, you know, they come and the Lord lights a fire in them for their journey in relationship with the Lord, and then their stand for biblical moral values as we have a chance here in this nation. Now, with that being said, as I said, I want to be brief about what we're going to go over today, because there's a lot to get to. So first, let's start here. I'll start with the issue in Iran. So Iran has since launched the last couple of days a rocket into space as supposedly a nuclear deal gets into discussions and continues. And this one is just amazing. A member of the European Union went to Iran, foreign policy chief Joseph Borrell, in hopes of trying to get Iran back to the table for the Iran nuclear deal, and trying to explain that they don't need to be doing this, they don't need to be creating nuclear bombs and nuclear missiles. But that's the whole purpose of what Iran wants to do, and trying to say, well, we need to get back to the table, and we need to make sure that the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, is in full force and in full effect. But in reality, it's like, I think that's a misnomer. And the reason I point this out is because the United States and Russia and Iran have kind of come to a standstill, because I think the Iranians, they don't want to get back into this deal. Ultimately, they want to get out of this deal because they want the sanctions lifted off of their country. But is we want to be aware of where we're at, where their country is at in this, and where Iran is at in this, as there is still the possibility of continued negotiations there. And then we saw yesterday the horrific attack on a shopping center mall in Ukraine, and President Zelensky has come out and called this a terrorist attack. There have been other missile strikes throughout Ukraine. And the reason I bring this up is because there was the G7 meetings with European Union, and now the president and the administration are going to Madrid to have a NATO meeting talking about a host of things. We mentioned some of the things yesterday. Energy investments, security for European Union, as far and the G7 nations, oil, things of that nature. And so this is something that is on the high end of the to-do list for the administration, as they are dealing with it on a first level basis. And the conclusions of the meetings in Brussels yesterday, of the G7 meetings, concluded with a focus on China. And I talked about this yesterday. It's a good road to go down, but the actual application of what they're trying to do is misguided. I think it's not fully fleshed out. And also the fact is you kind of have all these nations going backdoor and having negotiations with China. In reality, it's about greed, about making investments and hoping that they'll be able to pay off to get each nation out of debt to a certain degree. So there's a lot of decisions that are before these leaders that and our administration that we want to be fully aware of, in making sure that we're praying and recovering for them. There is also coming up in a couple months the G20 meetings that Vladimir Putin has been invited, and all reports are showing that he has accepted the invite to meetings. So the part of the G7 meetings is, we're going to put a cap on how much we're going to pay for Russian oil, et cetera, and other things. And it's a joke, because is you need oil, but you're not doing the one thing you need. I think even Macron caught Biden in front of a camera saying, you know, we have to stop going to OPEC and Russia for begging for oil, which is utterly hilarious that he would do that. I mean, it's a public ploy in reality. And so need to be aware of what's going on. At the same time, you have the Biden administration is targeting the largest oil production area in southeastern Texas, western Texas, and southeastern New Mexico, and the Gulf of Mexico, and on the other side of Mexico regions, where they're putting in really EPA restrictions. And basically the ruling is that the EPA is now considering a discretionary redesignation for portions of these counties in New Mexico and Texas for the 2015 ozone NAAQS under Clean Air Act Section 107D3 based on current monitoring data and air quality factors, the Biden administration wrote. And basically what it's doing is putting more limitations and more things that oil and gas companies have to adhere to when they're trying to drill for oil and find oil and gas, ultimately to hope in the Biden's administration's ideology is to prevent them from even being able to drill. So you see on the opposite G7 meetings, oh, we're going to buy oil from Russia, but only at a certain cost. We're going to set that cost. We're not going to let Russia determine that. Russia's just not going to buy it, sell to them. They're going to go sell to somebody, to China. And then at the same time, you have the statement coming out from the White House saying, praising the $700 million in private sector commitments to make EV charging more affordable and accessible after the $7.5 billion investment from the federal government. $700 million compared to $7.5 billion is a drop in the bucket. And they're trying to just pat themselves on the back of saying, look, we created these jobs, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, is one question to ask is, why isn't the private sector doing this on their own? Why is the private sector only making these investments after they're gathering and securing government grants and loans just to even go down this road? Why are they doing this after oil and gas is being limited here in the United States? Why are they being forced to go into this? These are some questions to ask about why we're going down this road. Is it really affordable? Is it really environmentally as advantageous as they're claiming it to be? And I think those questions have still yet to be answered, but the biggest question is, why isn't the private sector doing this themselves? If it's so cheap, if it's so revolutionary, why do they need the government's help to fund 90 to 95% of the initial investments to get it up off the ground? And you could say, well, economies of scale and stuff like that, but look, even Tesla wouldn't be around if it weren't for federal government stimulus. So all the hype about that is there's more questions than answers, and involved in that, we want to pray for this administration on a host of issues, but specifically this one: intercede for the Biden administration, have the fear of the Lord, and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with international diplomacy during the NATO meetings this week, as there's discussions with adding members to NATO in Finland and Sweden, or Switzerland, excuse me. And so there's discussions there, possibility that Turkey is trying to negotiate American military planes as part of allowing these new countries into NATO. And what does it mean for Ukraine? There's the discussion of, well, we're never going to knock back Ukraine. We're going to fight them till the end. What does that mean? Does that mean sending troops? If you're going to allow Ukraine into NATO and into the EU, does that now mean you have to send troops? Are we a part of that? What does all this mean? And that's why we want to pray for this administration, that they have the fear and the wisdom of the Lord to make the decisions that the Lord would want. As the Lord has warned Ukraine about this situation, and not saying that, there's not a way to help and to be wise in this situation, but it's do we want to go to the next, World War III in reality as is looming down the throat of every nation in the world. And next, I want to talk about a few things on the fallout of Roe v. Wade. So we're seeing the idea of using federal lands to administer abortions and to allow the day after pill to be taken in front of a doctor on federal lands. The Biden administration and Vice President Kamala Harris has said that an interview with CNN's Dana Bash, she says, it's not right now what we're discussing when asked about this situation. They're going to continue, as we read yesterday from the DOJ and AG Merrick Garland, that they're going to try to protect the rights of women and companies to be able to pay and send women across state lines to be able to get abortions to the states that are continuing to allow it to occur. You're also seeing Pelosi trying to codify it into law, and attacking the Supreme Court attacking Republicans, as I mean, you're seeing. But I want to read a statement from her that really outlines what's ahead, that this is only just the beginning on certain aspects. She says, we must continue to beat the drum, not only of what the challenges are, but what we as Democrats are doing about it. And she went on to say, it is essential that we protect and expand our pro-choice majorities in the House and Senate in November. Meaning, these coming elections are going to get heated up. This will be a hot topic for the primaries today. We'll get to that here in a second. And for the midterms come November. She goes on to say, so that we can eliminate, and the reason they need to protect their majorities is that so that we can eliminate the filibuster, so that we can restore women's fundamental rights and freedom for every American. I would 100% agree with that. Let's consider every American, even those who are inside the womb of the mother. And so that clearly tells us what their stated goal is if they get the majority. That right there should be alarming of so we can eliminate the filibuster. That right there alone. The reason the filibuster is there is to prevent a swinging of laws of where this nation lies, and there needs to be a foundation. Now, there's the issue of companies, and the list is growing every day, that are covering abortion travel costs. The Daily Caller actually made some calls to these companies, and I think this is very, very interesting, is that they asked them about, okay, you're paying for abortion, you're paying for a host of other medical procedures, but what about helping mothers provide for, paying for, and helping them find baby formula? They're silent on that. They don't know. They don't have a solution in most cases, and so we're seeing that come out, but then also you're seeing that some companies are possibly in a legal quote-unquote quagmire. Basically, is there's a lot of entanglements that these companies could get involved with state laws. Is, you know, you're crossing state lines with the intent to fund to commit an abortion. And a lot of the state laws don't attack the mother, but they do, and in the Texas case, deal with the person who's pushing and advocating for it, or paying for it in this case, being the ones responsible for the action of pushing for abortion. And so does that mean if you send them, you know, you pay for someone from Louisiana to go to California, is there a lawsuit there for them to be sued on that aspect? That's still yet to be determined, and that's one of the things that this administration is fighting on. And so we want to make sure that we're sober and aware of what's going on. Also, somebody posted about it yesterday, that there is a judge in Louisiana that supposedly has blocked the trigger law in Louisiana from going into effect, and there's a hearing on July 8th, so after next week, after the week after July 4th, to try to block the abortion bans, as well as in Utah, where Planned Parenthood is trying to do the same thing. And what we do know, I don't know specifically about the case in Utah, but I do know in Louisiana, is I want to read the statement that Mike Johnson put out about the issue here in Louisiana, because I know we have a lot of people from Louisiana here, is, and I think this is a standard of understanding something, is Mike Johnson said that this is a frivolous pleading that will ultimately fail because Louisiana's law is crystal clear. Our trigger provisions have been a part of our statute since 2006, and it was strengthened most recently this year with John Bel Edwards signing things into law and not allowing it to go into effect. In 2020, a wide majority of voters agreed to amend our state's constitution to affirm our commitment to life, and the abortion industry here has been well aware of and lobbied against these legal provisions all along. It is disingenuous for them to now claim they don't understand our statutes. And part of the lawsuits they're putting in play is saying, well, we didn't fully understand, so like you have to like give us time to like figure this stuff out. ultimately to try to continue to allow abortions to be had. It's a last-ditch effort, and we just want to pray against that. We want to pray for these golden court cases throughout each state. We want to pray for the judges who are involved to have the fear of the Lord and ultimately rule according to the law within each state. There's no reason to go outside the realm of the law here. It's just rule what the case said, what the law says that is on the books. And if it has to be amended and if it has to be corrected, so be it. Let's stay within the realm of the law and within justice, but make sure that if there is a law on the books, let's uphold to it. Let's pray that everyone, you know, understand that this is the will of the people. They elected these officials to make these decisions. They made these decisions. And in the case of Louisiana, the constituent people within the state of Louisiana literally voted to add this and amend this to their state constitution, saying that we are a pro-life nation, and that if Roe v. Wade were to ever be done, that we want to stand for abortion and limit it in the aspect of Louisiana of banning it outright. So that's where those cases lie. We want to be fully aware of that. And then last few issues here are the primaries. I want to make sure I have the states correct. Colorado, Illinois. Let me make sure I have it correctly. Let me pull it up here. And there are some cases in elections in these states that are really highlighted and that are something to focus on. Colorado GOP Senate primary has a lot of candidates and potential of who should come up and who shouldn't is going to be up there. So we're going to pray for the voters in Colorado as well as in the Secretary of State primary. That'll be huge in the coming days ahead with not only these laws but other laws coming up and the actual voter integrity. In the state of Colorado, you have the GOP primary in Illinois. President Trump has backed Senator Darren Bailey, which is interesting because Bailey is also being advocated for by the incumbent Democratic governor, Governor J.B. Pritzker, saying that he wants him to be the candidate. So that should be very alarming right there of if your opponent wants you to be the one to win. That's quite interesting. And so pray for Illinois voters in the primaries. You also have a few districts within for the Democratic side in Illinois, some issues that come up to play for those who are moderate and more progressive. And then you also have New York Democratic gubernatorial primary, where this one is huge, especially for the Republican side. You have Lee Zeldin going up against Rudy Giuliani's son. And so Zeldin looks like he has as early voting has taken place, a huge win over Andrew Giuliani. And so Zeldin looks like he'll win. And there's a good chance that we talked about it before, how he most likely could possibly win the gubernatorial race within New York over what most likely looks like interim Governor Hochul. So there's those elections, and then there's also some primaries and special elections in Oklahoma Senate, and then the primaries in Utah. So we want to pray for these primaries and intercede for the voters in those states to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when voting today in the states of Colorado, Illinois, New York, Oklahoma, and Utah. And I want to close out lastly on some interesting victories. Is staying in New York a little bit, is a judge, this one is very, very interesting. Who would have thought that only citizens could vote in an election? But a judge in New York has nixed the New York City Democrats' scheme to let non-citizens vote. In the ruling, he said that there's no statutory ability for the city of New York to issue inconsistent laws permitting non-citizens to vote and exceed the authority granted to it by the New York State Constitution, State Supreme Court Judge Ralph Porzio ruled. Though he said that this is quite interesting. He said, though voting is a right that so many citizens take for granted, the city of New York cannot obviate the restrictions imposed by the Constitution, basically overstep. And I think it was a 33-14 vote by New York City. 33, the city council voted on December 9th of 2001, saying that non-citizens who have lived in the city for at least 30 days are legal permanent residents, including green card holders, dreamers, and residents with work permits, could vote in city elections, including mayor, public advocate, borough presidents, and city council. What about the governor's race, federal senators, federal congressmen? What about those races? Those are on the same ballots most of the time. And so that'd be quite interesting to see how that lines. And good on this judge for saying, you can't circumvent the state constitution there. So that's a win there. And then lastly, and I'll close on this, is the case, religious liberty case of the football coach standing up for his religious rights. And this is a huge victory. I mean, another one. 6-3 vote to stand for Coach Joe Kennedy's right to privately play it on the 50-yard line under the free exercise and free speech clause of the First Amendment. So these are huge victories. These are cases we've been praying for, others have been praying for well. And so we want to be sober and aware and thankful for the victories that are allowed under the Constitution of the Bill of Rights. And that mainly that the Supreme Court justices have ruled correctly in adherence to the laws on the books. It's not like they're making this stuff up. It's this is how this nation was defined. This is the experiment that we were under in a republic federalistic system that is still being exercised and practiced to this day. And even Gorsuch talked about how even if you were to limit a secularist point of view, it would have been wrong. Meaning that it's not only, you know, wrong for the school to do this because he's Christian, it would have been wrong for the school to do this for a person of any religion or faith or point of view to have done. So this is a great victory here. I know this is a lot that we covered here today, but I think it helps us give us an outline of, okay, what are some of the issues this administration is dealing with on an international level? What are they trying to do here domestically with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, energy, oil and gas there, and continuing to pray in each state for the rule of law that the states have implemented on the life issue, and then also for the elections here today. So I know it's a lot to cover. Let's continue to stand. And we thank each and every one of you for following along and praying with us as we've continued to pray for this nation, the office of the president. And then today for noon prayer, we'll be online again as we have kids camp. So the building is being preoccupied, but we'll be online. We'll continue praying for these issues as we did yesterday. So blessings, and we will see you guys later. Have a good one.